Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes any help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is a little different. We're in an empty auditorium at the pulpit, but we're going to do church. Okay? Thanks, Brian, for reading that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the wonder of technology. Thank you, Lord, that we can communicate biblical truth in this way. And as we prayed before, we're thankful for our brother, sister churches across your county and really across the country and world that are communicating through podcasts, through videos. Lord, just use this in a powerful way. Slow us down that we may hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was planning this morning on continuing our study on Christian freedom and the priority of love from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I really wanted to focus on verse 13, but we're going to set that aside this morning. This past Monday, our president and other leaders, as well as health officials, have asked churches to practice social distancing, and then this past Thursday evening, as part of the Pennsylvania National Pastors Network, I was invited to be part of a National Faith Leaders Conference call from the senior administration officials at the White House, and they strongly encouraged us to practice social distancing, to postpone all church services, small group meetings, and so we're going to honor that direction and do what they ask us to do. So they're telling us, Brian, to wash our hands 30 times a day, and I live with a first grade teacher, so I think I'm almost up to 30 times a day. Stay home and be safe and know that we are here for you, okay? If there's anything you need, if we can pick up some groceries for you or deliver something, please give us a call. Give any of the deacons a call. Text me. I'm at 717-781-3930 or the church number 308-2040, and we'll do that for you. And I'm smiling when I say this, but when the stores are empty, Farmer Tom has eggs, okay? This last week, he sold a record in one day, 75 dozen eggs, and we're hoping to break 100 dozen this next week at one of the days, so yeah, that'd be wonderful. Hey, this is uncharted territory for us, and the question we're asking is, how can we minister during this time? My son is a pastor, as I've said before, upstate New York, and they're getting getting hit really hard by the virus, but he is doing an outstanding job, and we're proud of him. And all of us have been hearing from respective pastors this last week. We're hearing from Dr. John MacArthur and others like Dr. Chappell and Dr. Tony Evans, and it's been very, very encouraging hearing these updated podcasts and YouTube messages. So, the question that we've been asking ourselves, maybe you keep asking yourself this as well. I've asked the fellows here, I've asked some pastor friends around York County, and just some I know across the country, is what might God be saying to us? What might God be saying to you, to me, through this navigating COVID-19 issue? Our attention has been grabbed, has it not? Life has changed. School is out. Stores are closed. Athletic events have been postponed. Life in many areas has been placed on pause, and we don't know when things are going to get back to normal. So what is God saying? What is God saying? Well, I'm not sure of the total answer, but this morning we want to look at for a few moments about what God has told us clearly in His Word. So, since you're home, I want to encourage you to grab your Bible, grab a cup of coffee or tea, and just follow along as we consider together. I want to look at three biblical truths concerning this present struggle or navigating COVID-19. Three biblical truths concerning this present struggle. And by the way, if you would like a detailed outline of this message, I'd be happy to send you a copy by notes. Just email me, davesutter@gmail.com, 781-3930, and I'll get one out to you. I'll either forward it to you, email, or I'll put one in the mail for you on Monday or Tuesday, okay? First thing, let me remind you that the Bible is very clear in telling us that God cares about our struggles. He cares about your problems. He cares about the crisis going on. He cares. He cares all over Scripture. And I'll be reading quite a number of passages this morning, but in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, when Moses was called by God to deliver God's people from Egypt, it says this in Exodus 3, verse 7 and 8, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down, to deliver them." What does that tell us? God sees, God hears, He knows, He's concerned, even when we think He's absent, even when we think He doesn't hear. He cares. He cares about our struggles. And you know, we're getting into the Easter season very, very quickly. And I want to remind you that God's care was ultimately demonstrated for us at the cross, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 32, Paul tells us this. This is a great verse. It says, "He," that's God, "who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all," here it is, "how shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" If God gave us Christ, and He did, surely He'll give us all things, Paul says. And then consider some of these precious promises. And by the way, there are many wonderful promises dealing with God's care in the book of Psalms. My friend up at Red Run, Pastor Zach, sends out a psalm a day to the congregation. He's letting me read that now, and it is so good. Listen to these words in Isaiah chapter 43, first three verses. Isaiah chapter 43, where God says, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And listen to this. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel." What does that tell us? God cares. God cares. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus told His disciples, He tells us, He says, "These things I have spoken to you that are in Me, that you may have peace. In the world you will have" what? "Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." God cares about our struggles, about your struggles, about our problems. He cares about this COVID-19. He knew it was going to come in eternity past. And as Brian just read for us Psalm 121, I love this psalm because it says, "God shall neither slumber nor sleep." God cares. God cares. Second thing I want to remind you about is the Bible tells us very, very clearly that not only does God care about our struggles, the crisis we're going through, the troubles, but it also tells us that He also does something about our struggles. He acts. He acts. In fact, the Bible tells us that God uses our struggles, our problems. He uses them. And often we don't see the big picture. When Paul was writing about this and problems and sufferings in general, in Romans chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5, he says this. He says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We can glory, Paul says, in tribulation. Back to Romans chapter 8, very familiar chapter, verse 28 that we use and quote over and over again where it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." All things. God uses our struggles. I'm not going to read from Acts chapter 4, but in Acts chapter 4, there's persecution going on. Peter and the apostles are being detained. And the church prayed, and they got so fired up that they went out with incredible boldness because of that situation. God used that to elicit boldness in their lives. The apostles learned that. And just a few more references here. James tells us about that. James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. James says, "Brothers, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Most of us scream, man. We don't want to count it joy. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." God uses these things, right? "Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." God uses our problems. He uses our struggles. And Peter would say in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, talking about tribulations and troubles and crisis, he said, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." God uses our struggles. He uses our problems for his glory and for his purposes. We've been studying the life of Joseph a little bit during our Wednesday morning sessions, and we all remember that verse in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where Joseph said to his brothers, he said, "But as for you, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for what? Good." God meant it for good. You know, the Bible here also tells us that, and I like this one, God promises to bring our struggles to an end in his time. God promises to bring our struggles, our problems, the crises we go through, to an end in his time. You know, most of you know I studied down at the Dallas Seminary, and down at Dallas, when they have anything, they have it bigger and they say better. And when they have a thunderstorm, it is a sight to behold, right, Brian? You know, West Texas has those things. But I remember being in chapel one day at seminary, and one of those thunderstorms came rolling along. And I'll tell you what, we thought, if we didn't know better, we thought we were in the middle of the end of the tribulation. I mean, the thunder, the lightning, and that had a metal roof. It sounded like that was the end. And Dr. Rowery reminded us that, you know what, storms do not last forever. Storms do not last forever. I can't talk about this past year, but often, sometimes we get, trapped in an amazing snowstorm. And you know that sooner or later, what's going to happen to that storm, that snow, Brian? It's going to melt, right? It's going to go away. The tornadoes go away. Sicknesses may seem to last forever. The kids may seem to rebel forever. But you know what? God brings an end to our struggles in his time. I just read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, "Though now for a little while, God will bring those problems to end in his time." That's good news. That's good news that those around us may not believe. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, it says this. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. It says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I will make all things new.' And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What does that tell us? God promises to bring all our struggles, all our problems, all our issues to an end in his time. God cares. God uses these things in our lives to produce what he wants to produce in our lives. And one more thing I want to remind you of this morning. The Bible tells us that God uses our struggles. He uses the conflicts and problems, even COVID-19, and this one hurts a little bit, to reveal our hearts, what's really going on the inside. And often problems will shine a spotlight on what or who we are really trusting in. And as I'm mentioning here, it can be very uncomfortable, even painful. Dr. Tim Keller, a man we really appreciate, has written a little booklet called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. And in less than 15 pages, Dr. Keller did an excellent job explaining Paul's heart in 1 Corinthians 3 and chapter 4. And by the way, this is going to sound like a radio announcement, but I have a copy for you. If you would, you don't have to write in, but if you would send me a text or an email, I will pop one of these in the mail to you. We got a case. Westminster Seminary gave us a great price. And right now, you have the time to go home and read it, right? Or stay home and read it, right? There's only so many Netflix programs you're going to stay and watch, or, you know, so many Green Acre episodes you're going to go through. But this is a great booklet to sit home and just open your Bible and read, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness, where in it, he explains, and he'll go into great detail, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, where Paul will say, in fact, I don't even judge myself. I don't even know my own heart. You're all familiar with, and let me find my Bible so I can read the two verses to you. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10 reminds us that the heart is what? Deceitful. And it says, deceitful about all things. How many we say about someone, hey, they have a good heart? And we know what they mean. We know what they mean. We use that as a comment. But the Bible says, the heart, my heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then it says, Jeremiah says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God knows our hearts. And often, the Bible indicates that God will send or allow problems, struggles, conflicts to bring out what is on the inside. And for us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, giving us opportunity to repent, to change, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. These things reveal our hearts. I was talking to Tim before we came out here into the auditorium or to the sanctuary, and we're just... One of the nice things about the COVID-19 is we're hearing from so many wonderful Bible teachers online, YouTubes and texts and things like that. And, wow, I'm going to go home and watch some more. There's some new ones coming up from R.C. Sproul's ministry and others. But I watched one on Thursday by one of the men I really, really respect and got to know him a little bit years ago. Dr. Tony Evans sent out a very helpful YouTube message. Did you watch that? Yeah. Just 7 minutes. I encourage you to find it. If you go back to Thursday, Google in Tony Evans, you'll find it. And he's just sitting there in his brand new ministry center down in Oak Cliff, Texas, Dallas, Texas area. And he's just talking to us for just 7 minutes, sharing his heart, saying, you know what? He has concerns. This COVID-19 affects him. It affects his family. And he still has an open wound from losing his wife of, what, about 42 years or something like that, maybe longer than that. But Dr. Evans said a couple things, and I wrote them down. He said, you know, God allows for concerns. He says it's okay to be concerned. It's okay to act responsibly. And when our government says, you know, here's some things you ought to take into consideration as we go through this virus, you know, that's okay. It's good to be concerned. But a concern, well, let me define this. He says a concern is when we manage a situation. But you know where a concern goes? When it goes haywire, he says a concern can turn into worry. And worry is when the situation controls you. In fact, I love what he says here. I wrote it down in quotations. He says, worry is concern gone haywire. Worry tells you, it tells me, you can't sleep now. You got to stay up and think about it. Worry tells you, I'm going to make your heart palpitate. Worry says, I will dictate your well-being and take it away from you. And then Dr. Evans went to Matthew chapter 6. And if you're, you know, set the coffee aside for a second and look at your Bible. Look at Matthew 6. I'm going to read this to you. Matthew chapter 6, where in Matthew chapter 6, three times, Jesus looks at his disciples who their concern turned into worry. He tells them three times not to worry. Not once, three times. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And by the way, beloved, this is a great passage just to sit and read the whole section here, 25 through the end. Jesus says in verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Do not worry. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Third time, do not worry. Do not worry. And you know, it doesn't say do not worry, be happy. It doesn't say that. Jesus says, do not worry. Why? Because you have a Father. Because you have a Heavenly Father, and your Heavenly Father will take care of you. Your Heavenly Father will take care of us. Dr. Tony Evans says, do not worry because you have a daddy. You have a daddy, and he will take care of you. You can take a deep breath and relax. I don't know about you, but I remember when I was younger living with my parents, and I'll tell you what, I really worried about probably nothing. Nothing bothered me, no matter what, right? Why? Why? Same with you, right? Because I had a daddy. I had a daddy. Maybe he worried, but because he was concerned and took care of things, I didn't have to. And the Bible says to us, do not worry because why? You and I, because we trust in Christ, have a Heavenly Father, and our Heavenly Father, as George Beverly Shea sings, watches over you, watches over me. Well, what's God saying? The Word of God here says God cares about our struggles. It tells us God can do something about our struggle. It tells us God often uses struggles to reveal what's in our hearts. And tells us to know that we have a Heavenly Father. So with this COVID-19 season, where many of our normal activities are now limited and even prohibited, I want to encourage you to do a few things, all right? I want to encourage you to read your Bible. Read your Bible. So many times I hear people say, we have no time. We like to read more Bible. Well, we don't have time. Well, maybe now you have more time, so... Again, I have a new schedule just came in from our friends. Where did I put a copy of this? Our friends down at Wisdom for the Heart, they have a great 2020 schedule. I'm using it. I find it a little bit easier to navigate through. Get a hold of me. I will get one of these. I will send one to you for sure. Read your Bible. Spend some time calling others that you don't normally call. Brian, you did a real good job of this. I'm calling a lot of people and say, we just heard from Brian, so that's good. Call some people. Text them. Let them know you care. Ask them if they need anything. Spend some more time praying. Dr. Angotti is always encouraging us to be praying for one another, to be praying for lost friends. Spend some time in prayer and know that we are here for you. We're here for you. Please, you need us, call anytime. And as we said before, storms do not last forever. Brian, I've referred to him several times this morning. He's sitting here in the front row where he always sits, which is great. He's going through a little transition with the job market. And so I would say, what, 3, 4, or 5 times a week, he'll pop in early in the morning and have a cup of coffee and a word of prayer. And he said something to me the other day that I thought was really, really cool. I want to share it with you. And maybe, I think you said you got this from your sister. This is what Carol Baker says COVID-19 really means. You need to write this down. I don't know where they got it from, but it's pretty cool. They told me that COVID-19 stands for this: Christ over viruses and infectious diseases Joshua 1:9. You hear that one? If you didn't, let me give it to you again, okay? You need to write this down, okay? And when you hear all the doom and gloom out there, or when you go to the grocery store and, you know, they're out of whatever you want, Christ over viruses and infectious diseases, Joshua 1:9. Remember that. Get the booklet by Dr. Tim Keller, and he'll encourage us to keep reminding our own hearts about the gospel. Get some free-range eggs from Farmer Tom. And before we close in prayer, Chuck Richards, our treasurer, asked me to remind you that you can give to York Bible by mailing your offering to the church, 890 Taxville Road, to Chuck himself, or to June Stamba, and we all really appreciate your generous support of the ministry during these days. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word and for the reminder that no matter what we go through, that you care, you will act, and that you are our Heavenly Father. And though we can be concerned, you told us, you commanded us not to worry because you will take care of us. You demonstrated that in the past, you will in the future. Father, we ask you to continue to give our president and vice president and governmental leaders wisdom and protection. We pray that we be delivered from this virus very soon. We all look forward to getting back to normal, but in the meanwhile, may we redeem the time and may we slow down and do some things that maybe we don't normally do. Deepen ourselves with you, with one another, and watch you work in wonderful ways. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.